The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Who do you think we are? Who do you think we are? The last 2 weeks, John shared with us the first 14 verses of this fantastic book that we call Ephesians. And if you've missed them, can I encourage you, on our website, there's messages online link, just click on there. If you missed John's messages, they're fantastic. I encourage you to download them. In those verses, Paul outlined for us our riches in him, our riches, no, not in Paul, but our riches in Christ, our spiritual blessings, the fact that through Christ we are redeemed, we're forgiven, that he has revealed to us the mysteries of God's will, that he made us, he chose us for a life of praise. And you know what? It doesn't stop there. He outlines for us the blessings of the Spirit, that we have been signed, sealed, and delivered by the Spirit, and the Spirit is a deposit that guarantees our inheritance in him. And I don't know about you, but when you hear all of that, I wonder what that makes you feel. It makes me feel like I am a son of the King. Son of the King, wow. And Paul wants us to know those things, but he not only wants us to know them, he wants those blessings and these riches appropriated in us and in the church. He wants us, the church, to not only know it, but to live it out. To live like sons and daughters of the King. So today, we move into some of the most important verses that you could ever read in your life. Well, that's a big statement. Hopefully I do that justice. These scriptures, like all of the scriptures, have the power and have the authority to bring deep, and I mean deep, revelation. And that revelation has the potential to change you forever. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for our time of worship together. Thank you that you are here. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our wins. You know our struggles. You know our sin. You know our lack of faith. But we're here today because we need you and we want more of you. Encourage us. Fill us. Lead us and bring us Holy Spirit revelation that will help us to live like sons and daughters of the King. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So who do you think we are? Who do you think we are? In the 8 verses that we'll look at today, Paul prays that the church will have revelation. That the Spirit will help us to know 2 things. And I'll unpack it obviously a bit. Here's a little bit of an outline of where we're going to go today. But 2 things. That the Spirit will help us to know God better. And secondly, to know who we are in Christ. And let's start with verse 15 as we work our way through this passage. And I want us to just walk through the passage together, verse by verse this morning. So verse 15, Ephesians 1, if you've got your Bibles or your smartphones, you can also follow along on the screen. For this reason, Paul speaking, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. Now, we know in the context of this book, Paul is in prison, right? John shared some of that on our first week together. We also know that during this time, the church, Big C Church, was struggling. But God was moving in this church in Ephesus. It's an exciting time for this church. And Paul was obviously hearing the good things that were taking place in this church because people were obviously coming to see him. And they were letting him know about some things. And he was hearing that the church was growing in their faith, and they were also growing in their love for each other. And it's interesting how Paul links the two, faith and love. And it's almost like, can we expect that as our faith increases, that we should also expect that our love for each other should increase too? Now, that's a whole other message in and of itself. But that's what's going on here. He's excited because their faith is growing and their love for each other is growing. And then verse 16, it says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Paul's in prison, and I've already said that. And by the sounds of it, he wasn't kind of wasting the hours away. He wasn't wasting his time looking at the ceiling or watching TV. Obviously, they didn't have TV back then. But he was busy connecting with people as they're coming to visit him. And he was doing something else that is massively powerful. What was he doing? Praying. The phrase, not stopped giving thanks, emphasizes the amount of time that Paul is spending in prayer. And it's interesting that, you know, as I was thinking about this, they've locked him up physically, haven't they? He's in prison. They've locked him up physically. And maybe they're thinking, oh, cool, we can stop the spread of the gospel by locking this guy up. But he was doing some of his best work right there, right then. His best work, powerfully praying and powerfully equipping the church. And it's still doing it today. It's incredible. Verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him, what? Better. Paul then prays. He prays a prayer, arguably one of the deepest and most powerful prayers, and he addresses it to the only one who is capable of answering it. Who was that? The glorious Father. And here, basically, Paul is praying that the Spirit will give us a deep revelation of God so that we will know Him better. Now, what do I mean by this word revelation? You might be thinking, whoa, revelation, that's a bit penty, isn't it? What do I mean by revelation? Well, revelation includes both the personal presence of God. So God kind of shows up, visits. And that, and truth, so it's the personal presence of God and truth. And this encounter with the living God allows us to identify Him, understand Him, and also point others towards Him. Revelation occurs when the Holy Spirit reveals to us truth. And that truth helps us to know God better. It helps us to see Him. And it helps us to have a confidence so that we can point others towards Him. That is revelation. I wonder, have you ever had a Holy Spirit revelation? An aha moment. You know what I'm talking about? That, oh, so that's what it means. Where the Spirit drops a truth that you've known for many, many years from your head until into your heart, and you are forever transformed. It happens at salvation when the Spirit opens our eyes, removes the veil. He opens our eyes to truth for the very first time. But it, church, it doesn't stop there. It needs to be an ongoing thing so that we grow. So that we grow in our kingdom lives. Well, over the last 26 years of following Jesus, I can very easily rattle off the times where the Spirit has revealed to me something deep, something profound about my relationship with God. And as a result, I've been forever transformed. And I can't, words can't give you the impact of that. Forever and deeply transformed and changed. And I'm absolutely convinced because of that revelation, I am a better man for it. I just want to share very quickly a few of those very special revelations. I remember when I was studying at Bible College, we were in our spiritual formation group, and we were encouraged to get alone with Jesus, and we had a passage of Scripture, and we were told to read the Scripture, to reflect on the Scripture. I can't even remember what the Scripture is now. And then we were to draw a picture of the way that we believed and sensed that God sees us. And anyway, I went away and I read the Scripture, and then God gave me this picture and I drew it. And then we were encouraged to come, and I'm not going to share that picture with you. It's real. All I will say is that when the Spirit speaks to me, and I think it's because I try to be, you know, a man's man, you know, I'm an Aussie male. And God often will speak to me in sort of feminine images. And I'm kind of, I don't really want to share it with you because it's a little embarrassing. But the reality is he gave me this picture, and then we were encouraged to sit on a chair in the middle of this group and share this picture with the group. You know what God did that day? That day God revealed to me that I am a precious child of His. That I am the apple of His eye. And I don't know, but when you get that kind of revelation, it changes you forever. At that time, I certainly didn't feel like I was the apple of God's eye, but God wanted to reveal something different. When I was younger, I thought, and this might not surprise you because you might think, well, you still do, but I thought the world revolved around me. And the reality is, don't laugh, because we've all been there. That ministry was all about me, but God revealed to me His heart for my wife, for Leanne. And He gave me a glimpse of who she is and how He's made her to be with all her gifts and talents. And ever since that day, I have tried to champion her with all of my heart, to encourage her to move more and more into the things that God wants for her. The Holy Spirit on that day brought me some humility, and He softened my heart. Oh man, I needed that. Often when I'm going through something tough, God gives me a song. It's usually a worship song. And as I worship and those words, I sing out those words, something supernatural takes place. He uses the words of that song to bring deep revelation. Revelation that touches my soul deeply. And he'll usually say things like, hey, I'm close. I'm close. Whatever you're going through, I'm close. I'm with you. I've got your back. And I don't know about you, but when you're going through cruddy stuff, how good is it to know that God's with you and that He's got your back? I remember a couple of years ago lying on a couch with Lewis, my eldest son. It was a couple of years ago, probably never happened now. But we were just doing nothing, absolutely nothing, lying together, arm in arm, watching a show. I think it was TV was on, we were watching, I don't even know, some probably American Pickers. And it was in that moment, even while watching TV, watching the American Pickers, it was in that moment that the Spirit very clearly and powerfully said to me, this is what I want for you, Rod. All this rushing around, all this doing stuff for me, and all I want is to spend time with you. I just want you to be still and know that I love you. Wow! That was, church, that was my Martha revelation. Have you ever had a Holy Spirit revelation? A deep revelation of God? Have you ever had the Holy Spirit flick a switch in your heart and it's illuminated something that you've probably known for all of your Christian life? But this time you get it. And I mean you really get it. And it transforms you. A deep transaction takes place in your soul. And the Spirit ruins you for the ordinary. And you are forever changed. You know, church, often Holy Spirit revelation comes through a circumstance. It forces you to get on your knees through the Scriptures. After all of the Word, all of God's Scriptures is God-breathed. The Holy Spirit might speak to you through a song, a conversation, or a prayer, a vision, or a dream. Through His still, small voice. Have you had that? Do you want that? Many of you have been reading a book along with us called River Dwellers by a guy called Rob Reamer. And just a great preacher, great theologian. And he says this. He says, your next level with God lies beyond the boundaries of your current experience. And I've said this to you before. Your next level with God lies beyond the boundaries of your current experience. And that means that if we want to go deeper, we need to risk more than what we may feel comfortable risking. And it means that we need to position ourselves to hear from God, to press in more, to lean in more, praying that the Spirit will bring revelation. So that we will know God better. And church, that's why we do retreats. That's why M stands before you like she did this morning, and she encourages all the men to do Valiant Man. That's why we want to bring the church together to pray. That's why we encourage you to read, to serve, to love. If we want to know God more, if we want to go deeper, we need to pursue the Spirit like we have never pursued the Spirit before. And we need to create space for Him in our busy, busy lives. And we need to pray, Holy Spirit, bring us revelation so that we can know God, so that we can know Him more. Amen. Paul continues in verse 18, and he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Does that kind of smell a little bit like revelation? Eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know. Paul has just prayed that the Spirit will bring revelation so that we know God more. Then in this verse, he prays that our hearts will be enlightened. That we will have a revelation of who we are. And there's three things that he outlines that I want to very quickly share with you. The first thing is that you may know, verse 18, part A, it says, the hope to which he has called you. Paul wants us to know what our purpose, what our mission, what our calling is. And not only that, but he wants us to know all the things that are available to us in order to fulfill that calling. It's a future church filled with hope. So that's the first thing that he wants us to know. The second thing is he then prays that you may know, verse 18 part B, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Paul also wants us to know what we've inherited. And I mean really know that we belong, that we're valued, and that we are secure. And having those things in Christ means that we've got authority. And that authority has been given to us to carry out our kingdom mission, to carry out what he mentioned earlier, our calling. And to carry it out in the natural. So we've been given gifts and talents, right? We've been called to serve. But it's also in the supernatural. And that leads us to the next verse. And it's the third thing that he wants us to know. Verse 19, part A. And you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul wants us to know this great power, which can't be compared to anything. And he wants us to have a deep revelation of it. I think that most of us know about this power. We know about this power. But do we really know it? Do we see it appropriated in our lives? Church, we need to access this power. We need to access this power if we're going to be who we have been created and called to be. Rob Reamer says this. He says, this power isn't about us. Really important that we get this. This power isn't about us and what we can do, but it is for us. It's not about control. It's for His kingdom benefit. And we are going to need it if we're to overcome the enemy of our soul. So how great is this power? This power is incredible. This power cannot be compared to anything that the power of this world throws at us. Paul illustrates how powerful this power is in these next few verses. Verse 19, part B, it says, that power, church, we need to get this. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Now just let that verse settle in for a little bit. That power is God's mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. And that same power that conquered the grave lives where? Lives in us. Whoa! I pray that you get, that we get a deep revelation of that. That same power that conquered the grave lives in us. And then in verse 21, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Seated in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every other name now and forevermore, for now and into the future, he is above every single one. He's not the first among many. He is Lord of all. One scholar said, notice the posture of this verse. He is seated. He is seated. The war is over. He has won. Jesus has got this. Jesus is not at all nervous or fearful of where the world is at today. We need to know this. We need to know it. We need to believe it. We need to believe it with all of our hearts. In verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. God has given to the church and for the church's benefit a head. And you know what? It's not the senior pastor. A head who is actually head over all things, thus giving the church all authority, authority and power to overcome the opposition. Because her leader and the head of the church is Lord of all. And because of that, we need not fear any opposition. We need not fear anything that the evil one might throw our way. We have nothing to fear. In 1 John 4:4, one of my favorite verses, it says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in this world. Do you believe that? I mean, do you really believe that? We need a deep Holy Spirit revelation of this if we're going to become all that we have been created to be. And because the evil one can't touch Jesus, remember Jesus is, he's seated, okay? He's got this. He's not nervous. But because of that, because the evil one knows that it's over, his focus has shifted to his bride. And guess who the bride is? We are. The church. And he's going to do whatever he can to keep us comfortable. To just do our Sunday thing, come to church, sit on our backsides, keep us comfortable. He's going to do whatever he can to get us fighting amongst each other. He's going to do whatever he can to get us gossiping and bickering. And he's going to do whatever he can to keep us immobilized by fear and with fear. Let me ask you, after what you've just heard Paul pray, what have we got to fear? What have we got to fear? If Jesus is in us and he is Lord over all, what have we got to fear? You know what? Really easy for me to say that, hey. And that's why we need a deep Holy Spirit revelation of this, so that it goes from here down into here, and then we live it out fearlessly and boldly. So who do you think we are? Who do you think we are? Church, we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? We need a deep revelation of this, and we need to pray that the Spirit will do a deep work in our hearts and in our souls so that we really know God and we really know who we are and how we're meant to live. Imagine what God will do in and through us if we really get this. Imagine if we risk our comfort and we move forward fearlessly and we move forward boldly. Imagine the impact that LifeStreams Christian Church could have on our city. The kingdom will come and we'll see God do things that we never thought or even imagined. I want to finish up by reminding you of something. Your next level of God lies beyond the boundaries of your current experience. What does that mean for you? What's God calling you to? You know, when I hear that, I think, well, that means that if we want to go deeper, we need to risk more than what we may feel comfortable risking. And it means that we need to pursue the Spirit like we've never pursued the Spirit before. And we need to position ourselves to hear from God, praying that the Spirit, and we're going to just keep praying, we pray, and we're going to pray that the Spirit will bring revelation so that we will know Him better. We need to pray. And so this morning, I've asked a really good friend of ours, James Goss. And James is going to come up. He is known in the city as a fantastic man of God, firstly, but also as one of the city's prayer intercessors. And I've asked him to come and to pray this out over us. And so, church, I want us to stand and I want us to get into a posture that is ready to receive what James is about to pray for us. So you might want to just hold out your hands like this. If you feel comfortable, you might want to reach out. But we just want to give this time, these next few moments over to James, just to pray this over us.
Just a brief comment. This is interesting. He's never asked me to come and pray like this before. But this scripture is a revelation to me years ago. And God challenged me The book of James says, you have not because you ask not. And Paul in this prayer in the NIV says, I ask and keep on asking. And God challenged me for 12 months, could I pray this? And I wrote in my journal, I ask and keep on asking that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation that I might know him better. Yeah. Guess what happened during that year? I had experiences like you spoke about with your son. At times when I wasn't thinking about it, God just began to break through and give me opportunities. And so, friends, sometimes we just pray a prayer and it's in. But I want to challenge you as I pray, can you pray and ask and keep on asking? How serious are we about receiving this revelation? Because if we do, your world will change. This church will change. Yep. As we begin to understand who we are.
Yep.
Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this morning, for the incredible revelations that you gave to the Apostle Paul.
Thank you, Lord.
Which weren't just meant for the early church, but they were intended for us. These revelations for your church to rise up in this day and hour, to be everything that you've purposed and planned for us. And Lord, I sense this morning a deep hunger within your hearts of the people. Lord, a deep hunger that we might go deeper into you, that there might be a revelation, Father, of all that you've planned. And I ask, Father, that you would give the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Holy Spirit that abides with the Father, that Holy Spirit that you would break out in revelations, that you would give a knowledge of Jesus, that you would give an understanding of who we are as sons and daughters of the living God.
Amen.
That there would be a rising and an empowering and an equipping.
Amen.
That we would no longer walk just in our own flesh, but we'd understand the authority and the power that you've given to us as your church.
Amen.
I pray that the hope that we have in this time of hopelessness would arise, and that
yes,
hope
Lord.
Would be evident within our eye. There would be an understanding of the richness of the inheritance of who we are as sons and daughters of the living God.
Yep.
And there would be an understanding of the power of God that is to us, the power and authority of God to speak to evil, to speak to sickness, to speak to disease, and the power of God would be manifest in our lives.
Yep.
Father, no longer do we want to walk in our own strength and our shallow understanding of who we are, but placed within us this deep and this depth of a hunger that we from this time forth would walk in a way that we'd never walked before.
Amen.
We'd hold our heads high.
Amen.
We'd walk, hallelujah, in this fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ
yes,
as we have. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.